Can we just celebrate them for a moment, guys? You know, you guys are doing more behind the scenes than any of us realize. And that same passion that you see Jordan move with and minister with, they do that with your kids. And there's just something really special about that. And I just so appreciate both of you guys and what God's doing in and through your life. And boy, I can't wait to see what's going to happen in about 5, 6, 7 years. I just don't even know, you know. I felt some emergency tongues get activated by some parents when they saw that swing. Everyone's like, yeah, youth camp. Hora shaba oa, you know. But I do. It's a real privilege to be able to be here this morning. My name's Sean. I'm so excited. I get to lead the Columbus School of Supernatural Ministry. And so some of you know me from that. And it's an amazing environment to get trained and equipped. And we've been doing that for 13 years now. And a lot of you are graduates. A lot of you have come through it. And man, being around hungry people for Jesus, man, it just does something to you. It just really does something to you. Jim started a series last week on the Holy Spirit. Yeah, come on, Jesus. I guess, like, you know, most messages can be a part of that series, right? If it's not about Jesus, what are we doing up here, kind of thing? But this is not part of that. This is not part of that. This morning, I want to talk about the favor of God. And it's a topic that, you know, I want to kind of define, maybe redefine for some of us. You know, the favor of God is something that, you know, we kind of hear in church circles and in different movements as kind of something that, you know, sometimes is exactly what we see in scriptures and sometimes is not what we see in scriptures. And so I just want to kind of open that up. And before I do that, I just want to tell some people in the room, today is your day for breakthrough. It's an that's a fun word to say. I wish God put, you know, like that's a fun word to say. I love it. And today is the day the Lord has made. But I do really sense an anointing in the room for breakthrough today. So as I'm speaking, you have permission to encounter the Lord. Does that make sense? And it can be for whatever it is that is on your heart. It says in Psalm 34, I'm going to read you this. It says in Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him, and he delivers you. It says that he will deliver you from all of your fears and withholds no good thing. You know, the picture of spiritual warfare of God breaking through and the enemy fleeing or your circumstance changing is so powerful in scripture, but it's actually very quick. Did you know that? It says in Luke 10 that when the disciples came back, Jesus sent them out two by two and gave them authority over every sickness and disease. And they went about in the villages and they were sharing the good news of the kingdom of God has come upon us. And they're inviting people to come into this kingdom. And it actually says something amazing that the disciples came back and they were so overjoyed. They were like, even the demons submit to your name. Even they obey us. And it says Jesus gave them a summary, a quick snapshot of what happened while they were gone. He said, Jesus, talking to the disciples, I was watching Satan fall like lightning from heaven as you went. That moment of breakthrough is like a bolt of lightning in our life. Does that make sense? Hey, you guys may have heard the phrase, sometimes it takes a while for God to move suddenly. I'm giving you permission today just to step into those suddenlies of heaven over your life. Because I feel like God is here in the room right now and wants to encourage you to step into that just by receiving. We're not talking about that. I'm just giving you permission. You guys want to hear a couple testimonies? So our testimony wall over here, we love celebrating testimonies in our church. We love doing it in CSSM. We actually talk in CSSM about how to steward testimonies. What do you do with testimonies in your life? How many of you guys have testimonies of the Lord in your life? That he has showed up in your life in some way? We have a big salvation testimony, most of us do, about God changing our life as we repented and chose to follow him. And then there's, from that point on, there are so many ripple effects and waves of big testimonies and little ones, things that that he answers the cry of your heart and things that he answers the situation that you're involved in. Does that make sense? Testimonies are an amazing way that we get to renew our minds. It helps keeps us connected to his nature. The Psalms actually say, Psalm 119, verse 111, it says that the testimonies of the Lord are your inheritance, meaning they all belong to you. That's still, I've been chewing on that for years, and I still am having trouble comprehending what that even means. But I do know I can start somewhere. I can start by stewarding testimonies, recalling them, sharing them. So here are a few. This is just from our testimony wall. When you get a breakthrough of the Lord, we encourage you. There's cards over there. Write it down. Put it up there. And then on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, whenever you're at the church, go and renew your mind. Holy smokes. And feed your spirit on what God is doing. It says this. This person prayed for a woman in the bathroom. How many of you have a bathroom ministry? I know, I've heard of this. And her back straightened out. And a knot disappeared, and she was fully healed. This person says, I prayed for a patient who had severe arthritis in both knees and hands, both shoulders, and behind both legs. After prayer, she checked everything out, and Jesus completely healed her of all her pain. Come on, Jesus. God healed my heart of palpitations on the Sunday Pastor Jim called out healings. This one, after 4 years of ADD and severe bouts of PTSD that required medication, I am now both medication and symptom free after a decade of struggle. Come on, Lord. Why don't you guys open your Bibles to Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. We're going to talk about the favor of God today. How many of you want the favor of God, need the favor of God? How many of you are like, let's get some more favor of God in our life? Open up your Bibles to Luke 4, verse 18 to 19 is where we're going to start this morning. As soon as you're there, just give me a shout. Say, I'm there. All right, we got a couple A-plus students over here. You guys are invited to CSSM. No, just kidding. It says this in Luke 4, 18 to 19. Jesus opened up the scroll in the temple and read out of Isaiah 61. And this is what it says. That the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and set the oppressed free to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Did you know that Jesus, it says that Jesus is fully God and fully man, and that Jesus had to grow in the favor of men and the favor of God? Did you know that? That this is Jesus, yet he still had to grow in the favor of God himself. That he lived a life as a model for us so that we can also grow in the favor of God. Now, when we talk about the favor of God, favor is this word in the scriptures that gets most closely translated often to grace. Grace, the closest definition that scholars can really land on in the English language is unmerited favor. Is unmerited favor. So we know this. We know that when you're born again, when you accept Jesus, your life becomes just a fountain of God's grace and mercy over you. That you've been actually, like part of your inheritance in the kingdom is grace, is favor with God. Everyone's invited to it. Everyone's invited. The same amount of favor is available to you as it is to the person next to you. You know, Jesus shares this parable in Matthew 20 about a farmer who brought in workers, and some worked 12 hours, and some showed up and worked 10 hours, and some showed up and worked 6 hours, and some showed up and just worked 1 hour. And at the end of the day, the farmer gave the same reward to each of them. And some were offended because they're like, I worked 12 hours. We're all getting $100. How come the guy who worked one, he got $100 an hour? I worked all day. I got the same pay. And Jesus actually says, don't let your heart be offended that my Father is generous. That the same amount of grace is available to you today as it is Billy Graham who walked his life with the Lord. Does this make sense? The same amount of grace is available for you that feel like you're backslidden and that you don't know what to do as it is for the one that is, going out and healing the sick. Like, what I'm trying to say, it's an even playing field. The invitation for grace is available. And that word grace is this big, big theological term that means unmerited favor. Now, Jesus had to grow in faith. Are you guys, or grace, are you guys still with me? Yeah. All right. Jesus had to grow in faith, in favor with God and man. It says in Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. I'm going to kind of breeze by a couple things. If I had more time, we could really kind of do it justice. But Jesus had to grow in these things. I'm not going to unpack that other than this and just say, if Jesus had to grow in it, do you think you have to grow in it? Yes. Okay, are we all in agreement there? Yes. Awesome, let's move on. We all have an opportunity that we've been given something. Now, are we going to steward it to increase? We've been given favor. Now, are we going to grow in favor with God? Good. Something that occurs is, I've heard this, and this is something that's really, it's really challenging to hear, is we've reduced in the church a definition of the favor of God to something that just means personal gain for us. Does that make sense? That how many, like, we've reduced the favor of God to, like, I got a parking spot when I went to the store. Favor of God's on my life. But in doing so, we begin to reduce actually what the favor of God is, means, and the impact it's supposed to have. That the favor of God is not for personal gain. The favor of God is for partnership with heaven. When we see pictures in the scriptures of people, men and women who had unique measures of God's favor, there are people like Noah. It says that God was mourning that he even made man because everyone was sinful, except for Noah. And Noah, it says, found favor with God. And then what happened with Noah? A great partnership with God occurred. Does this make sense? Mary, the mother of Jesus, the angel of the Lord came to her and said, Mary, you have found favor with God. And what happened? A great partnership with heaven occurred. She was given the pearl of great prize. She was given Jesus. She was entrusted with Jesus. That the favor of God was on David. And we see these unique measures of God's favor on men and women of God who were uniquely walking with God. We just read Isaiah. Go ahead and put Luke 4 up one more time behind me. It says this in Luke 4 that we opened up with. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. What else? He has proclaimed to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and set the oppressed free. This is the favor of the Lord. Yes. Does this make sense? Yes. Meaning the favor of the Lord is about freedom. Yes. The favor of the Lord is about breakthrough for people around us. The favor of the Lord is about anointing, invading earth from heaven. Does this make sense? Yes. That the favor of the Lord is not a nice parking spot. Can they include it? Maybe, but that's not the purpose of the favor of the Lord. Does that make sense? And what happens is we reduce the favor of the Lord to our personal gain. It's a problem. It's a problem whenever we do that. One of the marking signs of the favor of the Lord, we as a church have to be able, the capital C church, the body of Christ, we have to be able to test things to see, is it the favor of the Lord? Not every invitation you get is the favor of the Lord. It says that Jesus grew in favor with men and with God. Are you guys, we good? You guys still with me? Grew with favor of men and God. Well, what's favor with men? How did Jesus grow in favor with men? Well, he was invited to the Pharisee's house, and he was invited to tax collectors' houses. He just seemed to have favor. He was invited places. People wanted to be around him. The what men had to offer, Jesus was kind of pulled into over and over. He's at wedding banquets, and he's doing miracles, and you see Jesus just around people all the time, and people, it says, were just flocking to him. He fed 7,000 and 5,000, and he just had the favor of man on him, that people would come to him, and he was invited to the high place and the low places. The favor of man invites you into places. The favor of God invites you into him. The favor of God invites you into his presence. The favor of God invites you into what he's doing. Does this make sense? And so we as a church have a responsibility to carry the favor of God in your life. Did you know it's not about personal gain, But it actually says that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You're okay. Don't worry about it. Like, does that make sense? There's a difference between the two. He is your provider, of course. He loves you fully, of course. But the favor of God is something altogether a little different. The favor of God is different. Now, one of the ways that we want to be able to identify what are opportunities that might come your way that are the favor of God or not the favor of God. So oftentimes, we actually will get tested in order to grow our character to be entrusted with more. I'm going to say that again. We'll be tested for an opportunity for our character to grow so that God can trust us with more. Yes. How many of you have, maybe you've seen it like online or, you know, you've seen like a meme in the social media world where, you know, someone finds $100 in a store and they just start praising God. Favor of God is on my life. It's sad, but it's kind of true. People see that. And when your lens is a favor of God, it's for my personal gain, you see that as, oh, God gave me that money. Well, what if that money belongs to a single mom who dropped a dollar bill and she's in another aisle over? Can I just say that? What if God is actually testing your character to see if you can be entrusted with more? When our lens is personal gain, we miss the opportunity of growth. Bill Johnson, we have a quote you can throw up. Bill Johnson says that when it comes to things of the Spirit, that gifts are free, but character will cost you something. It's easy to teach about spiritual gifts. We do in CSSM all the time. It's easy. I love it. That's probably why I do it. It's so easy, you know. No. Spiritual gifts, the things of this, their gifts are free. Character will cost you something. They're not opposed to one another. It's not about earning more. It's about positioning yourself to be entrusted with more. You know, when I've heard this, can I just kind of talk real for a moment? You know, not every opportunity that you've been given is the favor of the Lord on your life. Did you know that? Jesus was tempted with opportunity from the devil. Oh, hey, just worship me. I'll give you all these kingdoms. If you have a lens of personal gain, you're going to say, oh, this is the Lord answering my prayer. Hallelujah. I will take those kingdoms. But that's not what the favor of the Lord is. The favor of the Lord will bring us through a process. And lightning strikes along the way. But it's still a process. The devil wants to circumvent and shortcut God's process in your life. Did you know that? You might be called to be a steward of great resources, and he's going to tempt you to steal that money, to take that money at the store. If we don't have the right lens, we're going to see the circumstance wrong. You know, how many of you have gotten a promotion at work, maybe more money, more responsibility, and we instantly go to the place of God's favor is on my life in this place? But what if that promotion, that new opportunity, cost you an additional 10 hours to be away from your family? What if you can't go to the nations and you have a nation's call on your life? What if you don't have time to go and serve the poor and establish that local food pantry or go to a free medical clinic and serve there because now you're so tied up with this favor of God opportunity? Does this make sense? That we have a responsibility to not just say that's the favor of God. We have to look at what is the impact of that thing on my life and on those around me. Does that make sense? So there's this word in the Bible that we can use. It's a word that you've heard before called shalom. So shalom is this really cool, unique word in the Hebrew, and there's such a depth to what it means. It means completeness, it means wholeness, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, peace, rest. And then the last one here I almost want to highlight today is harmony. That there is a harmony to your life. That there's something where your immediate friends, family, roommate are getting blessed because of the favor of God on your life. They're not getting harmed by it. Does that make sense? If they're getting harmed by it, I would argue with you that perhaps that's not the favor of God on your life. It's something, but it might not be the favor of God on your life. Am I getting too close to home? that we have a responsibility. Let's just talk about opportunity in the lens of the favor of God. Opportunities come your way. You have a responsibility to look into the future of that opportunity if you said yes and see what the impact would be. Do I see more shalom in my life? Do I see more shalom in those around me? Is there a unity that's taking place in my life where I'm growing closer to God and my relationships are getting blessed? Does that make sense? Guys, the way forward sometimes, did you know that the favor of God might not always look like onward and upward from the lens of man? The kingdom's upside down, guys. From the lens of man, Jesus didn't have a great ministry because he only had about 12 when he went to the cross. From the lens of man, Jesus blew it. He said the wrong thing. They fed 5,000, and then he gave this message about you must drink my flesh and eat my blood. Or the other way around, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And everyone left. Did you know that the kingdom is upside down? The kingdom's upside down. That there are times where God, the favor of God might be on an opportunity that pays you less. Did you know that? Some of you are like, get behind me now, devil. Because you have to understand, God is not playing checkers, he's playing chess. That opportunity that you think is less in 5 years are going to open up doors that the other one never could. So what does it require? It requires trust. So here's the thing. You can't grow in the favor of God outside of intimate trust with him. There's no formula here. We're talking about testing a shalom, but you can only move forward when there's intimate trust. I'll give you an example. I think it was in 2008, 2009. I was working full-time in the investment world, and I had an opportunity sort of come my way. And I was casually kind of just keep my eye out for opportunities. I had a really great space where I was at in my career and had a good team and all those things. And I just got a little restless. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I just got a little restless. So I was like, let me kick the tires on maybe some opportunities and see if there's something else out there right now that, you know, just kind of sounds like a good change of pace. And so I wind up getting an offer at a really great company that was, everything was better. And I didn't have it bad, but everything was like better. The work that I'd be doing, the opportunities, the pay, it was more money. It was even better benefits. It was in a state-of-the-art facility. I remember when I was there and they were offering me the position, they're walking me around and their bathrooms were designed by a designer, I'll just say that. And this was a company that owned a lot of other companies, and one of the companies they owned was like a candle company, so the bathrooms were all full of these amazing smelling candles. I mean, like everything from top to bottom. There was a Starbucks on the first floor. There was, you just name it, all these little cool perks. And everything was lining up of like, when I compare this to this, that is just way better. And I remember it should have been an easy decision. And I just began to have almost like what we would call like a check in my spirit about it. I'm like, it's like almost like I want to go over, but something's like tethering, holding me back from saying yes. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And I was in that space, and I didn't understand why. And I'm like, Lord, like, you know, you tell your friends, like, that's favor of God. That's favor of God. That's favor of God on your life. It's a favor of God. But for some reason, it just didn't bear witness inside of me. Now, fast forward, I prayed, and it was a real struggle. And I said, no, I decided to not take that opportunity. And fast forward a little bit, within about 4 months, I want to be conservative. It could have been 2 months, but within 4 months, I actually moved to a different department of my company with more pay, with more opportunity, and I actually got to work for the first time in my professional kind of life, I got to work for a godly boss, like a godly man. And that changed my life. Does that make sense? And I was walking with Jesus, but to see someone who's walking stuff out with the Lord with great influence and opportunity on their life actually was training ground for me that the other position didn't have. Why am I saying that? Because on paper, favor of God, everything's better. But in the spirit, it wasn't God. So meaning this, we have to break the stigma that if you take an opportunity that isn't onward and upward in the eyes of man, that it can get celebrated by the church. We have to break this thing that says, oh, hey, yeah, oh, man, they took some other position. If God's on it for you, then we need to celebrate it in other people's lives. Does that make sense? That the way forward might look a little backwards sometimes in the kingdom. And we have to break this thing that you have to, like, kind of be semi-shameful because maybe you're not going onward and upward like the way other people do. Did you know that God might be doing something in your midst that you don't understand, but he's going to get you in your seat? John Wimber, are you guys still with me? Are you guys still good? John Wimber, one of the kind of patriarch of the Vineyard movement, he has this amazing story. Did you know John Wimber was someone that he was a professional musician for like the Righteous Brothers, and they were opening for the Beatles, and it was a kind of a big deal, and he was making a lot of money. And he had great opportunity. And then what happened is God started to invade his life. And he tells this amazing story about his friend who told him that that God might ask for a career change in people's lives. Of how open are we with the things of our life? Because God wants all of it. And there are times that God can course correct and change our life. And there are times that he might ask you for something that you don't want to give up. And John Wimber, he was a new believer. And he's at this meeting, at this Bible study. And he hears this saying, are you telling me God would have me give up my job? And the pastor was like, possibly, just possibly. And Wimber said, like, no, I don't like that. I don't like that, God. And then what happened is his heart started to get convicted. And he began to pray. And how many of you, that interaction for John just stayed in his mind? How many of you know when things stay in our hearts and minds, pay attention to that? It could just be the voice of the Lord just speaking to you. And it just stayed in his mind. And then he started to say, okay, God. He started to pray. He said, okay, Lord, you can have my career. And it was as though two giant hands came out of heaven and opened up my fingers, and a voice said, thank you. Now, it says, suddenly, John says, I was plunged into the real world where alarm clocks go off. Keep in mind, he was a musician. Where people get up and go to work in broad daylight. He said, I had never done this. In a matter of weeks, I was working in a factory, clocking in and learning how to relate to normal people. One day, I was assigned to clean some oil drums behind the factory. It was hot, filthy, dirty, smelly work. It was the most menial task they had, and the reason they had me doing it was about the only thing I could do. I was down inside of one of the oil drums, and I heard a car drive up. A familiar voice said, is John Wimber here? And I reluctantly came out, and there stood one of my old partners from the music business. In his hand was a contract that I had signed, and it was worth a lot of money. In order for him to fulfill it, I had to relinquish my part. He just stood there staring at me. I was a mess. I had grease all over me, my hands, my face, my eyes, my ears. Finally he said, what are you doing here? I looked at him, then looked at myself. And right at that moment, I realized that I was here for the pearl of great price. So John looked at him and said, God did this to me. He says, as I watch my friend drive away, I realize that sometimes there's no way to explain obedience and sacrifice to God, to those that might not see the pearl that you're chasing after. My friend could not have any value at all in the humiliation of my flesh and God taking me down from a lofty worldly position and teaching me simple obedience. That the kingdom is upside down. That there are times that God might reorient our lives. That if we're giving him a big yes, then expect two big hands to come into our life. Yes. Yes. And the great part is this, is that for someone like John Wimber, this was really the start of him being launched into his real calling, the fulfillment of his life, which is becoming an influential world leader. But it didn't start that way. It wasn't onward and upward from the beginning. Did you know Jesus actually had to go to the cross before he ascended? That Jesus, it says, was humble in heart. The favor of God was resting upon him. Just like we see in the church movement, the favor of God resting upon John. So we have to be able to test out opportunities to see if it's God's hand, if he's in it, or if we're willing to test out and discern what his presence is saying. There's a great story in 1 Samuel 24. I'm going to read it for you guys. This is a story about David and Saul. And this is a story about David was being persecuted by Saul, being absolutely hunted by Saul, because David was anointed king, but Saul had the throne. And so Saul was very paranoid, really worried, and just didn't want David to take his place. Does this make sense? So we're going to kind of jump in here to 1 Samuel 24. It says, after Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all of Israel and set out for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats, which is a great name for something. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give you your enemy, David, into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. So David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid I do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. With those words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. Verse 16 says, when David was finished saying this, Saul asked, is that your voice, David, my son? And he says, he wept aloud. You are more righteous than I, he said. You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. So this is where David went and explained to Saul that I could have killed you, and he showed him. And this is Saul's response to David, saying, you have treated me well, and I have treated you poorly. Verse 18, you have just now told me about the good you did to me, and the Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for how you have treated me today. I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established into your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family. This is another opportunity. This is the Lord. Even people around you, men, this is the Lord. David, this is the Lord. But David had favor from the Lord and recognized that is not the Lord, meaning this, I will not control and manipulate my way into purpose. That David chose, I will not control or manipulate my way to get what I want. Even though that's where he was going, was the throne. That it takes an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit to be able to recognize, I am not going to control and manipulate to get what I want. Because you will have opportunities to do so. Do you know that? Control manipulation is in seed form of the spirit of witchcraft. Of getting what you want the way you want it. It looks like you're going to wear situations down to get what you want. Does that make sense? Here's an opportunity David could have done. And he could have jumped in and manipulated and controlled this thing so that he would get what he wants right away. Instead, he entrusted it to the Lord who already promised it to him. That the favor of the Lord does not co-labor with control and manipulation. You know what it co-labors with? Intimate trust. With an intimate trust that says, I don't understand maybe why this circumstance isn't different and I want it to be different, but Lord, I'm going to trust that you're going to make it different. God, I'm going to trust that you have my end in mind. That God, I'm going to trust that the way you're going to do it is bigger and different and more full of shalom than I can figure out. That the favor of God involves trust more than it involves manipulation, control, or even intentionality. Now, a couple of things. So we talked about the favor of God. It looks like shalom. The favor of God reflects God's nature. The favor of God reflects his character. It yields shalom. It benefits you and those around you. But sometimes, like in John's story or in David's story, it might seem a little upside down. So the question is this. How can we grow in God's favor? Jesus had to grow in his favor. You and I, we already established that. You already agreed. You got to do it now. You've already agreed that we have an opportunity and invitation to grow in God's favor. Okay, so a couple of things I want to just kind of put out there for you is one, how to grow in God's favor is listen and obey. That's really simple, but the truth is, that is the truth. It's about listening and obeying, and they're the same moment. You listen, you obey. You know, if God's going to call you to do something, he'll speak to you through the word. He can speak to you through community. He can speak to you by the spirit. He can speak to you in worship. He can speak to you in a lot of different ways that he sees fit. We're not going to go into a hearing God's voice training where you want to be able to test those words. Just do all that, okay? Come to the training for it. It's going to be great, okay? But listening and obeying. You've gone through the process. You heard the Lord. Now what do? You know, we're a people at Zion Church that we hear the Lord and we say yes before he even knows what we know, what he's asking of us. Does that make sense? It's say yes and then walk out obedience with him. It's say, rather than, oh, the Lord's calling me to do that. I don't know. Let me see if the way I can do this is the way I want. Delayed obedience would be disobedience. So listen and obey. It says that Jesus grew in the favor of God. It says that he was heard in Hebrews, it says, because of his loud cries and reverent submission. It says that Jesus would often withdraw to lonely places to pray, that Jesus withdrew to listen. He withdrew to be in God's presence. He withdrew to be able to get his marching orders, to get clarity. We listen and obey. We have a disconnect with God. Sometimes we treat God like a spiritual mailman that's going to come and has great messages, has good news, has good stuff to put in your mailbox, and we go out and read it, and we celebrate, and we tell other people that this is a picture of something that Jesus actually didn't die for. That the mailman, he doesn't come in your living room, does he? The mailman stops at the curb. Maybe you go to the door. Oh, thanks. Get your mail. Good news. That God can be our spiritual mailman rather than our intimate friend. A friend is one who's invited in the living room. A friend is one that, you know, that can see your closet that you haven't cleaned up yet. That gets to come in and be part of your life. That can even address those things that you don't even want to show other people. That listening and obeying isn't just for marching orders, it's for connection and intimacy with Jesus. That he actually says, open the door and I will come in and dine with you. That he doesn't want to just be a spiritual mailman giving you good news. He actually wants to be the person in your life that you're going to, that you're talking through, that you're working through issues with, that you can talk to him about anything and he has permission to talk to you about anything. This is how we grow a listening and obeying relationship with Jesus. You know, something that Pastor Jim really taught me, and I hope this has landed well with you in his teaching and his lifestyle. I love how Pastor Jim always talks about enjoying the Lord. Did you know that's part of listening and obeying? Is enjoying the presence of Jesus in the living room. Of enjoying that meal with him. Of enjoying going through your process of talking with him. Have you ever been asked to be part of something from someone that you didn't trust a lot? Maybe you knew them, and maybe they're very trustworthy, but you didn't trust them. Some of you are looking at me with big eyes. The difference between having the favor of God and growing in the favor of God is I have a deepening relationship with the one who's asking things from me so that when he asks, there's already trust established. Does that make sense? That many are called, few are chosen. It's the idea that God is inviting, and talking, but people are lacking trust with him to say yes. That when we're talking about growing an intimate relationship, we're talking about, boy, letting God put his finger on all the stuff in my life. Because when he gives me an opportunity, it's from the one that I trust. That when opportunities come, favor of God to grow in it, but I'm not walking in an intimate relationship with him, I'll question it or have to overthink it. Does this make sense? Just like you would, you know, when Scam Likely calls you, you know, on the phone, and you're like, I don't trust you. I don't care what this opportunity is. I don't have a relationship with you. I have no idea what you're talking about. What happens is we miss God's invitation to grow in favor because we're not deepening our relationship with him outside of those moments. Does that make sense, guys? This is the package that we're talking about, is being able to grow in that space. The end result is deeper relationship with God. The end result of growing in favor is deeper relationship with God. Jesus says this in John 15, and I am wrapping up here, and that is not a lie. Jesus actually talks about, I no longer call you servants, but servants, John 15, 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. This is the invitation of the one who had more favor with God than anyone. He's opening up this revelation that it looks like friendship. It looks like intimate trust. It looks like listening and obeying, not to be friends, but because we are friends. Listening and obeying, not to be loved, because he radically, radically loves you. Trusting because he knows where he's bringing you. He knows where he's going to bring you. He knows the journey you're going to be on. And sometimes the kingdom might look upside down. It might look like you're taking a step backwards in the world's eyes, and in the kingdom, you just took two giant steps forward. So it's about us rediscovering the favor of God is not just about our personal gain. It's actually about the kingdom. It's about freedom being released in our life as we grow in that space. Why don't you guys stand up? We're going to close in prayer. You know, if you're here today and you're a person that maybe you drifted from God, maybe you're a person that have never said yes to Jesus, maybe someone around you invited you to church, maybe no one knows just where you're at spiritually, but you know you're in a dark place and that you want to get free, that you want to say yes to Jesus, that you want this grace in your life, that you want this relationship in your life where the favor of God starts to invade circumstances and situation. Where that missing thing of shalom, as I was reading through that, you looked at that and thought, I don't have a lot of those things in my life. If that's you today and you want to say yes to Jesus, that you want to invite him into your life, why don't you just raise your hand in the air real high for a moment? I see you guys. I see you guys. Bless you. Bless you. Yep, I see you guys. Is there anyone else that would say, I want that? I just want that. I'm tired of living life my way. I want to live life with God. I want to give my life over to Jesus. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't worry about people looking around. Just right now, just every eye closed right now. If there's anyone in the room that you're saying, you know what, I just want to say yes to Jesus today. I want to be forgiven for my sin, and I haven't put my hand up in the air yet. I want to know that shalom, that peace that surpasses understanding. Amen, amen. Why don't you all just put your hand on your heart right now, and we're just going to pray this together. And if this is your first time, and if you raise your hand right now, I want you to just partner with Jesus because he is on your life, that he is the one drawing you into this space right now. So Holy Spirit, we just say, take all of our hearts. We say, Holy Spirit, come. I receive your forgiveness. Come and wash my heart clean. Give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit today, God. Make me new. Lord, I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. And to the best of my ability, I relinquish my life over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to have the worship, or the the ministry team come forward. If you just gave your life to the Lord, if you just prayed that prayer with me and you raised your hand, as our teams come down, can I ask you, those of you who raised your hand and said yes, come over here, and we have some of our pastors, Derek and Judicia Williams. They would love to just get a chance to lay hands on you, bless that decision that you're making, and give you a couple resources. So it won't take long, but you guys, if those who raised your hand, just come on over to here, and if we need some help over here, if we can have some of the ministry team help out Derek and Judicia as well. But everyone else on our ministry teams, they're going to be one up here right now. If you're here and you need that breakthrough today, you want an encouraging word from the Lord, you need healing in your body, allow our teams to pray for you, and come on up in this center aisle. And man, thank you, Jesus. Guys, you're awesome. We'll see you guys next week. Bless you.